Blog Talk Radio.
They tell me that Christians are supposed to be Christ-like, but yet I haven't met a Christian.
Humor. She's a giggle at a funeral, knows everybody's disapproval. I should have worshipped her sooner. If the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak, fresh poison each week. We were born sick, you heard them say it. My church offers no absolute. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with you. I was born sick, but I love it. Command me to.
Over 2,000 years ago, this is Madam G.G., a story about a savior was told. This story, be it clever and deceiving, told in many ways, using many names, only keeping generations busy living in ignorance and fear. Planet stories with 1,000 vibrations will keep one busy, all right? It will keep you very busy, as one word could take weeks to find the root, and one topic could take years to find the answer. And then even then, you still may not find the answer to what you're searching for. So when everything is in confusion in this material world, you look at the system's biggest clue, which is the money trail, and look at who or what has the operating money tool. But the truth is, as part of this story goes, Jews, the chosen one, we're told, are the people of God. So what does that mean for non-Jews? But wait, in walks a Jesus desire to be the bridge between us and God, because we are all so sinful. Oh, you look like the devil, they say at times. But what is sin? Someone said we need a Jesus to communicate to God. Told us that Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the light of the world. Where is the light outside of the Christmas season for which Jesus is the reason? But wait, what if you are not of the Christian faith? But wait, is that where the 144,000 comes in? But wait, Jehovah's Witnesses believe they are the 144,000. What is heaven? But wait, what if we are not of the Christian faith? But wait, is that where the 144,000 comes in? But wait, Jehovah's Witnesses believe they are the 144,000. The lotto is set and only a few can make it into heaven. What's heaven? If we are looking in books for guidance, you should say, who wrote this? Why am I following this pattern? And I'm going to interject here because you know what? It also goes to people that we watch on that their YouTube and other things. You know, we watch without searching for ourselves and seeking for ourselves, you know. And you have to know that our brain is like a computer. And if it's not computing, take some steps back. It's okay. For real. Love is pretty awesome without rules. It stands on its own. For there's no awesomeness in man-made religion. I learned this. It took me 56 years for me to come to this wonderful conclusion that love is the answer. And we're going to get more into that in some upcoming shows. But first, I'm not trying to scare anyone, not trying to shock anyone. I'm mainly just trying to share my story of what I went through as I came out of the fog. And I would like to invite all of our listeners to tune in to the archives on Blog Talk Radio and search the Ghetto Truth Magazine and Stereo, and you'll find After Christianity Part 1 and After Christianity Part 2, and we're going to get more into it as these upcoming weeks come in, right? And on the November the 9th, we're going to have the wonderful Black... I'm excited already. Black Fire. She's coming to the Ghetto Truth Magazine, and she's going to share some things. And a lot of what she is going to talk about, I kind of just scraped the surface a few years ago, and I'm going to tell you, it scared the shit out of me. And I had to leave that one alone for a little bit because at the other end of the spectrum, I was trying to deal with Jesus and a whole lot of things. I was studying about the Illuminati, and every time I kept reading about the Illuminati, I kept seeing that Christian is a myth. But I wasn't looking at that because I was not ready. I grew up in a church of God in Christ my whole life, my whole family, and every being that I know of, my people, my melanated people, many, was brought up in the church, was given this religion, handed to us, and we just went for it. And at this current time in my life, right, I'm just sharing with people who are going through the same things, and I know they are because I have gotten a couple of inboxes of people, and they ask me some questions, and I answer them, and I see that some of the things I share on that their Facebook, and I really like to keep it limited because the people on Facebook, their brain is highly limited, and I don't want to you know, make my brain go down any further. But we're talking about After Christianity Part 3. And I'm going to slide through some things. And we have a guest. She's going to come on in about a few minutes, and she's going to share her story. And I don't know any of it. I heard about a paragraph and I already knew I need to bring her on this show, Miss Angela O. And I'm so happy to have you here. And I want to thank all my listeners for listening. Let me get to this point. Like, I'm going to be honest. I did listen to Dr. Hagen today. And it was an older video. And it's funny how a lot of the things that he was talking about that I was saying, and my main thing is as well, I'm not trying to shock anybody like that. I'm not trying to knock on your door like the Jehovah's Witnesses do. I'm not trying to bombard you with the Bible and just force things down your throat or anything like that. All of this come in love because, while I was enjoying the Christian life for a little bit or whatever, but most of it I kind of stayed away from because of the church, the rules and the bylaws and the doctrines and the theology and everything that goes along with church, of which I learned it has nothing to do with Jesus, of which, in my opinion, and I find it to be true, that Jesus never existed. Now, I have stood on these European folks, the Romans, they invented the Jesus concept, which is taken from many, many different religions. You go to YouTube and you find all this information. And when I saw that, it shocked me. It blew me. I was living in Long Beach and finding out that this story of Jesus the Christ that I've heard my whole life, you're going to tell me, this Christian of 50 years, that that same story, the Krishnas have it and the Egyptians have it and the Sumerians have it and everybody had that same story of a deity being born of a human person. And the story told so many times, it shook me when I first heard about it. The next thing that shook me, and I do give my sister, Ra, she, Yah, a big thanks. She threw me in the pool. And I believe, no, I know she knew I could handle it. She threw me in the pool. I went over to her house, and we were about to have girls' night out, you know, have a drink and hang out. So I go to her house and I go in and she goes, hey, watch this video. I'm going to jump in the shower real quick and blah. I said, okay, what is this video about? She looked at me, oh, just watch it. So she go do her business, whatever she's doing. I'm watching this video. It's 30 minutes long and I'm sitting there and my bones start to quake and shake and chills start going through my whole body, because what I saw was another story of the sun, of how it travels for 3 days and then it rises. And I will put that particular video in the group, Ghetto Gospel Magazine, on Facebook. I apologize. I meant to drop it in there prior to today, but, you know, look for it. It's a trip about the sun. And another thing, we have an associated religion with science and spirituality. We get that mixed up, and it's a trip. And for me, coming out of my journey, I could tell you I don't believe there was a Jesus, right? Not the Son of God, by no means. What I may be open to is a prophet, Yahusha, and that's gotten to be a maybe because of these stories. We don't know who wrote these stories. We have the word of who, that the Bible is the inspired word of God. And I have to look at the men in charge, you know, the powers that be, and what's going on in the world today. And basically what man is the beast. And from what I've been seeing lately, them Caucasian kind, they the worst kind. They the evil kind of beast. Killing people, come to power, make up their own rules, their laws, take the land, you know. And how can you take the land? It's the earth, you know. It's the whole universe. And from what I know and from what I learned, and I didn't know this when I was in Christianity, that we are all part of this wonderful universe, all these particles and whatnot, until everyone is connected. And again, we're going to get into that another show and another time, all right? We're going to open up the phone lines, and I do believe our guest is on the line, and we're going to talk about it. Some more things are going to come up. And again, don't be scared. This is about learning, and this is about everyone going on their own journey, you know, whatever it be. And one thing that I do agree with Dr. Hagen on, and I heard some bad things, some people was writing some stuff about him, but I didn't go look at that because it's not the point. The point is he did say some true things, and it's like, I was a Christian, I was a believer, all of that, right? But people who are Christian today and whatever, and like he said today on that video, and I'll drop that in the group as well, he said, whatever you are, whatever, cool, you know, whatever works for you. And it was funny because that's what I've been saying in prior to me even, you know, watching that video, whatever float your boat. It's cool, you know. All of this is for me, you know. I can say I could be sufficient and whatever, and yeah, when it comes to me, yeah, because I see things that will benefit me, that will put me on a higher level, and when I see it's not good for me, I have to move on. And another thing I did was I didn't just leave the church like that. I left in 2012. But prior to that, it was a process. And prior to that, I was speaking with my pastor. I still have a pastor, believe it or not. Okay? He's a relative. He's a prophet. And he understands what I'm going through and my journey. And if he can understand that, Christians, especially the ones that have been coming after me on Facebook and in the group and talking all kind of madness, guess what? I love you. You know, I'm not trying to take anything away from you. I'm just sharing my story for other people who's more like me because they want to hear this. They want to know that they're not crazy. They want to know that they can say this stuff out loud. And it's okay that Jesus is not coming back. And I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, you alive. But after 5 years and affirmations and prayer and whatnot and all that I've gone through, and, again, going back to my childhood, because as a child, children know more than we know because they just left the mama womb and they know what's up, you know, more than us. Okay, I believe King Wayne is available tonight. I'm so glad. I did not know because how you doing? All right, he's listening for tonight. I'm going to close his mic out. We have our guest. Please press 1 so I would know where you are. Angela O, press 1 on your phone, and I'm going to bring you up in the conversation. And you can tell your story. There we go. I see all. Not the all-seeing eye, but I see enough. Angela, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Ghetto Truth Magazine.
Thank you.
I left much kind of general. Yeah. It's a trip, right, after Christianity?
Yes, it is. Very much so, but I'm happy that I did it. I'm real
right.
happy.
I didn't get a chance to get your bio, so I need you to introduce yourself to our audience, our listening audience, and tell your story. Because I thought I was going to be scared at first when I grabbed the phone. I thought I had to, like Dr. Ray said, pull the rug out slightly a little bit. But, shit, you weren't even on the rug. You was cool. So give us a nice long 500 characters of what you are about and what you went through and what's been going on with you in your Christian walk and after Christian walk. And did you ever even enter into the church? So how did it go down for you?
Well, you know, like, you know, most American parents and especially Black parents, you know, they were raised in the church. And, of course, my parents were no exception. And, of course, throughout American history, that tradition has continued, and it still continues. However, today, you know, to a lesser degree. But people are more woke today in that respect, thank goodness. But I like to tell people this quote when we have a discussion on religion. We were all tattooed in the cradle with the beliefs of our tribe. And that's quoted from Oliver Wendell Holmes. But now I'm a free thinker, so that tattoo has been removed from me, and I'm happy about that. But my first recollection of church was when I was 3. You know, I enjoyed it because I didn't know any better. I was a kid. Plus, I'm sure I was going to church just, you know, to play with the other kids and, you know, color in the coloring books. And then my next recollection was when I was 5, and I went to church with my grandmother. And it was just me and her. And she gave me 5 pennies, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, she gave me 5 pennies. Maybe I can buy some candy with that, you know. But then a few minutes later, someone comes around with a plate and says, my grandmother told me to put my 5 pennies in there. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. This is mine. She's like, no, put the money in the plate. And so I did, and of course, I sulked for a while after that. And but, you know, eventually I got over it. Then by the time I entered second grade, my parents had decided to join the Catholic Church because they were originally raised in the Baptist Church. And they sent my siblings and I to Catholic schools so we could learn, get a better education, and plus learn about Christianity or Catholicism. And, you know, I love the church. I love God. I joined the choir. I was baptized and confirmed. And in the Catholic religion, you get to choose a baptismal and confirmation name. And I chose Mary and Teresa, and Mary for Mother Mary and Teresa for St. Teresa. And then I got to meet some of the cardinals from the St. Louis Archdiocese, and I noticed how regal they looked and how people revered or idolized them. And if I remember correctly, I remember seeing people kiss their hands or rings. And I wasn't sure what to make of that since, you know, I was still pretty young. But in high school, I saw the same thing happen again at a midnight mass, you know, for Christmas. And I really took notice of that, and I thought that was, you know, kind of crazy for, you know, a person to be kissing a man's hand or his ring. Who was he, with, you know, that important to, you know, kiss him like that? But and then we, you know, went to church every Sunday. But we didn't always go to church every Sunday. Sometimes my dad, he would miss church because he would be out, you know, partying too much on the weekend, and so we didn't go to church.
Right, yeah. Old dad.
But since we were in Catholic schools, school children had to go to mass every Wednesday, you know, during the day, and we did every day. And we had to learn the catechism, which is an instructional manual for Christian principles. And one of the things that we learned, which with me, was that we were supposed to be poor. But I was confused, even as a child, because I saw how the cardinals lived. They looked wealthy. And the Pope, he lived in his lavish palace. And he almost looked like a king. And even when I was in third and fourth grade, I noticed the contradiction or the double standards. But, you know, I kept loving God and going to church and everything. And then I got into high school. I, along with my entire senior class, we had to go to our last mass for class before graduating. And, you know, the service was good, mainly because of the music. And, you know, we clapped our hands and praised God and everything. But the priest became livid. He said, "This is the house of God, and you've turned into a house of the devil," or, you know, some shit like that. And he just got really mad. And I thought the funny thing about the whole situation is that most of my classmates were white kids, you know, because I went to predominantly, you know, white schools. And I can't remember who initially started the clapping, if it was someone who was black and who was actually a Protestant and was just going to Catholic school to get the education. I'm not sure who started it, but anyway, we all clapped and everything, but that didn't go over well. And but I did have a black friend who was a Pentecostal, and she was going, you know, to the same school, and she had invited me a few months back at that time to visit her church. I was a little hesitant at first, you know, I'm like, a Pentecostal church, what is that like, you know, because I had never been to one. So I went with her, and it was interesting. The singing was good, the music was good, and they were, you know, really into it, clapping and just having a good time. And then all of a sudden, you know, people got what they call slain in the spirit, and people were jumping up and around and running around the church, and some people fell out, and I think one woman hurt herself, and other people started speaking in tongues. And I was not prepared for anything like that because I had never seen anything like that. Being in a Catholic church, everything was, you were just stoic, you know, you were just still and quiet, and you didn't do much movement or anything, you know. But I told my friend I wasn't ready for that type of thing, so I never went back. But then I graduated from high school and went off to college and met a guy, and then I ended up having a child. And I let the church know that I wanted my daughter baptized. And because in the Catholic religion, if you have a baby, they have to be baptized, because according to Catholicism, we're all born in original sin. And a baby needs to be baptized in case they die. That way they can go to heaven. So, you know, I called the church to see if I can get my daughter baptized. No one ever called me back. So I called again, and I asked, you know, the priest, you know, when I could make an appointment to get her baptized. And I can't remember for sure, but I'm almost positive he told me that because, you know, my daughter was not, I wasn't married when my daughter was born, that she couldn't be baptized. And so I saw the light then, and I knew what time it was. And by this time, my whole family and I were all, had become disillusioned with the church, and we started going to my dad's childhood church, and a Baptist church. And I wasn't impressed with that either. And like the Catholic church, I enjoyed the music and I joined the choir. But I was in my early 20s, and I started thinking for myself, you know, I was thinking for myself, realizing just like the Catholic church, something was missing. And so I started moving on. And although we, you know, continued attending the Baptist church, my dad had begun listening to radio ministers like Kenneth Hagin. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All of them, honey. I'm 56,
oh, yeah.
Rooted up in Church of God in Christ.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Okay. Mm. You know what I'm talking about. And these,
oh, yeah.
And of course, there's many more that, you know, I didn't name, but these are all, you know, faith ministry teachings. And their teachings were mainly about health and prosperity. And I mean, they were big into that. And so they, which included tithing, you know, that was a big thing. So one day, I think it was Kenneth Copeland who came to St. Louis, and that's, you know, where I'm from originally. And he had a convention there, and my dad took the whole family to see him. And I met this lady there, a white lady, at the convention, and we started talking about, you know, the sermon and everything. And she was telling me she was going to this church, big church in St. Louis, like the biggest church at that time in St. Louis. It had about 5,000 members, and they taught that kind of thing at their church, you know, with a health and prosperity message. And so I thought I was interested in going. And so she said, okay, I'll, you know, take you to church. And I didn't have a car at the time, so she would pick me up every Sunday and take me to church, and I listened. And of course, my dad wasn't too pleased. He wanted me to stay at the Baptist church with the rest of the family. He told me that, you know, we need at this church strong Christians. You know, the people at the church, they're not strong. We need people like you there. I'm like, I'm just learning this stuff, so how can I be of help to anyone? You know, I don't understand that. And but he really tried his hardest to convince me to stay at the Baptist church, but I didn't, because I was grown and I was on my own then. So,
right.
Yeah, but he always tried to exercise his authority over me, and especially when it came to religion. And one day I told him I didn't need to go to church in order to have a relationship with God. And he quoted Apostle Paul about the not forsaking the assembling of. Yeah.
Miss Angela, we might start getting a fight now with Apostle Paul. But we'll talk about that later. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So,
we might be on the same page. Go ahead.
I hear you. And so I wasn't hearing what he had to say. I just said, you know, I told him I was grown, and he didn't like that and made me go anyway by threatening me that you don't, you know, abide by what I say, then, you know, you can always move. And like, okay, well, when I get the opportunity, I will. And so during that time, I was really, really, really questioning Christianity. And no one can give me satisfactory answers to questions regarding the scriptures, you know, in particular like Genesis and Adam and Eve and the whole story behind Adam and Eve and the serpent and all this, you know, all that whole thing. And just wasn't making sense to me and how everything was blamed on Eve and she was like the bad person who caused sin to come on the whole of humanity. And as a result, man is the head of the woman, and she's got to bow down and obey him. He's dominant over her, and all that just didn't make sense to me. So, you know, I questioned that. No one could, you know, give me any really good answers. And so I, as a result of that, I was, it caused me a lot of emotional and psychological pain and confusion, and I couldn't concentrate in school because I was in school at the time. And I was, you know, very unhappy. So one day was looking through some of my dad's books, and he had this particular book, by a guy named Paul Twitchell, and this group that he was a part of, or he had founded, was called Ekinkar. It's some type of religion. It's an occult religion. Occult religion, rather.
Now,
and,
occult only means hidden. That's Christians
right,
make
that's
occult
why I
sound
cult.
So bad.
Yeah, I meant to
it
say
only
cult.
Means hidden, you know.
Yeah, I know what it means, but I meant to say cult. And but even though Christianity was considered a cult too, not occult, a cult at one point, but of course people don't see it that
Christianity
way.
Christianity is a cult.
Yes, I agree, but people, they don't want you to say that.
I only say that for our listeners. We're pretty much on the same page, but I'll put some stuff out there for the ones that's listening.
Because, you know, it was a cult because it was like a break away from, they didn't have Judaism. They didn't call it Judaism back then. But it was a break away from the Hebrew religion at the time. But anyway, so since I was following, you know, Ekinkar for a brief spell, and they believed in astral projection, and I wanted to do that, I wanted to learn that, but I never was able to do it. And my dad found out about it, and he, you know, being into that, and he was not happy about that, and he told me so. And then I moved away, you know, out of state, and they talked me into coming back to St. Louis. And at the time, I was still practicing sort of Ekinkar. And my dad talked to my daughter, being the jerk that he was. He talked to my daughter and had her, she's 5 years old at the time, and had her come talk to me. And she came to me one night. She said, "Mommy, Jesus is real, and he's the only way."
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, he used her to get to me. And so after a little battle within myself, you know, I gave in and rededicated my life to Jesus. And I still didn't like being forced to, you know, go to church or have Bible study at home. And because my dad continued doing that kind of stuff, but I balked at that even after I rededicated my life. But once I was on my own again, he still tried to control me. And like I said, I still wasn't having it. And I had a friend who had started listening to a minister who said that tithing, we were not obligated to tithe. And so my ears perked up. I'm like, what? Not obligated to tithe? I want to hear more about this, you know. And so I heard his message on the radio, and he said, yeah, the tithe was for the Levite priests because they could not work. And besides, Jesus had fulfilled the law, and there were no more sacrifices since he was the ultimate sacrifice. So I started following this guy's teachings, and he taught the Hebrew root of the New Testament or the whole Bible. And he explained it from a Jewish historical / cultural point of view. And so from him I learned about goddess worship and all kinds of things, conspiracy theories, you name it. I learned all kinds of stuff. However, he didn't realize he was opening up a new door for me when he started talking about these things that would have taken me totally away from his teaching into a whole different path. And like I said, he didn't realize he was really pushing me away from Christianity with that teaching. And but you know, he talked about the Hebrew language, you know, how it's a masculine language versus, you know, the Latin languages, they're more gender based. But in Hebrew, since it's masculine, they didn't have a word for goddess, a just word for God. So the
because that's what the Romans, they came up with that word, God. That's their word for, higher power. Yeah.
Right. So the goddess Asherah was seen as a god in the Hebrew Bible. So people didn't realize this. You know, I didn't know that until after I started, you know, following this guy. And I think the newer versions probably have updated it and said that it was, you know, a goddess and not a god. But after his teachings and learning from him, I woke up, because after listening to him for a while, and you know, I think I followed him maybe 4-5 years tops, and I became, you know, disillusioned with him as well, because he was the same way as all the other ministers. He just taught things a little differently, and initially it seemed like he was speaking the truth when it came to the Bible, because he was able to answer things that other priests, ministers and priests could not answer. But then I noticed there were a lot of things he couldn't answer either, or he would give these weird explanations, just like my dad did and other ministers did. So I decided, you know, this is not for me either. So I left religion altogether, because none of them could answer any questions outright. You know, I would rather them have said, I don't know the answer. I don't have the answer to all of this. But instead of saying that, because they don't want to make themselves look ignorant, I guess, they just make up stuff. Or like my dad told me, lean not into your own understanding.
Okay.
You know. Yeah, and I'm like, well,
they would throw that. That's one of their favorites. That's their go-to.
It is.
That one right there.
Mm-hmm. But I told him I wasn't leaning on my own understanding. That's why I was asking questions. Duh. You know.
Duh.
Yeah. I'm trying to get understanding. That's why I'm asking questions, you know. I don't understand how hard that is. But and then I had moved away to a different state. I was there for a year, and then my parents wanted, because my daughter was still young, and they wanted us to be close to them. And my parents by this time had moved to Iowa, and my dad had started his own church up there. And so they came and got my daughter and me and took us to Iowa, and we started going to his church. And and we stayed there for a while, and man, it was tough, because my dad, he was really heavy into the faith ministry, you know, the health and prosperity, praising God the right way, wearing the right clothes. You can't wear jeans. You got to make God proud.
And you know what's funny?
Just
that right there, what you said, and everybody knows, you know, even the comedians, that church folk, they be dressing up. They be in the nines and the teens and the 20s. All of that, going to church, and in the Bible, it tells you don't be puffed up. It tells you don't be like the, you know, the rich, you know, Pharisees, whatever, and come to the front of the church and whatnot. And that's in the Bible. However, that's not the practice that's going on in the churches. It's just crazy. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to be back. We got callers; they're coming up, but we're going to bring King Wayne on and have him say a little few words.
Mm-hmm. the cold.
Christianity. It's a myth. This I know. And ghetto gospel told you so. I mentioned before that I used to be a spoken word artist, and I was on the mic talking about Jesus Christ, and I believed all of this. And some people that's watching me now and they're reading some of my posts, and they're going crazy. You know, I brought an atheist to Christ, okay? And I feel so guilty about that today. They don't talk to me now because they see the path that I'm on now. I brought an atheist to Christ, Jesus. And I didn't use it by scriptures. I didn't use it by how other Christian folks do. You know, they want to pull you to the side and brother, brother, sister, sister, and throw all these things down and whatnot. I didn't do it like that. You know how I did it? Through trials and tribulations of my life that I've been going through for the past 1,200 and 1,000 years and days and whatever, and what I was going through, and she saw me going through that. When I first met her, she saw me on this local Long Beach station. I'm walking out of some store, I forget, and she looked at me and she's like, "Aren't you ghetto gospel?" And I'm like, "Yeah." She said, "Oh, my God, I saw you." And she became my number one fan until I got another number one fan. And she was an atheist, and she watched me go through struggles. She watched me go through a hard breakup when I was with someone for, like, 6 years, and she watched me, that pain, and everything I went through for, like, a couple of years. And she thought that was Jesus Christ. And I thought that was Jesus Christ, and I was convinced that it was Jesus Christ. But I have to tell all my listeners today, I went through, I said this before, I'm going to say it again because Carmen hasn't heard it, the same trials and tribulations that I went through last year in Atlanta. It was hard and it was difficult. But this time, I didn't have my Jesus to turn to. I didn't have Jesus to fall down on my knees and cry out. None of that. Woo-hoo-hoo! You want to know what I did, this ex-Christian coming out of the fall? You know what I did to get through those hard trials and tribulations, and I'm living in an extended stay, just 1 foot next to being homeless, stressed the freak out. I didn't even have money to go get me no cannabis. It was difficult without Jesus Christ in my life in that time. And you know what? I called my prophet. I didn't tell him what was going on. I don't know what I said. I can't recall because this was like a little bit over a year ago. And when I was about, try to remember, I won't be wrong on this, misquoting him, but when I was beginning to tell him what had happened with the motel, he told me, God can't help me. Is that deep? He told me, this is the prophet in the church, he told me, you already have the answer, Gigi. Angela, woo!
I hear you.
I hear you.
We already have
the answer. All right, King Wayne, he's at his son's football practice. He's a dad, you know. He's into his children. He cooks for his children, throwing down those manly meals. How are you tonight? I'm so glad you could make it because I have to change the time. 9 o'clock is difficult.
Yeah.
But we're going to make
okay.
it work, though.
I'm okay. Just blessed. Another day. Good old air. Glad to make it. And yourself?
I'm very good. I'm very good. I've been attacked. Some people are misunderstanding what I'm saying. But the thing is, I went through it. This is my story, and I've actually gone through it. And I've been having Christians hit me up in the group, Together Truth Magazine, on Facebook, and other areas, and they're like screaming at me, Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the light. And I'm like, I'm not knocking that. He just ain't my truth. He ain't my light, and he is not my way. Not today. Not today. And I seriously doubt if I would change that. Not for Jesus Christ. You know, and I'm not even going to get into that there was no J since whatever century. That doesn't matter. What matters is how we live our life today, every day, right?
Right.
There's this religion, Christian, Baptist, Protestant, Jehovah's Witnesses, all this stuff is man making decisions of what they think God is or what they think God is or whatever, and they come up with all this stuff, and they try to make it match, and it's not matching for me. It's not working for me. And today, it worked for me 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, but 5 years ago, I'm out the fog. I'm out the fog. We're going to open up the phone lines. We have someone out in the ATL where I had most grief, but where I've had most enlightenment, empowerment, down there in the South. Welcome to the Ghetto Truth Magazine. How are you?
I'm good.
ATL.
I'm good. How are you? Hello?
Speak up and turn that TV off or I'm going to get you off my show. No ghetto gospel. Don't play that stuff. You have questions or comments?
This is knowledge. Hello? Open.
Hey, knowledge.
Yeah. What's up?
You have a question or comments? I know you got some knowledge on this topic because we've been to battles and blows. Because I told
you
with my old wise self, when I die and I have grandchildren, when nobody else on this earth know me, I'm going to be a freaking God, damn it. They'll be like, oh, ghetto gospel said this and said that, and we should live like this. And,
and
I told you that,
it's
right?
It's funny because, you said we've had in-depth conversations. And, I mean, what's your name again? I can't recall your name.
Angela, I guess.
Angela. Okay. Angela, you sort of hit me to something when it came to the church, because I couldn't fully understand why those trials were going through when it came to kissing the ring and you know, the different diversity that you had experienced in a Catholic church. Because even though I've been to a Catholic church before, I've never actually been around anybody or been in the mix with somebody who actually went to a Catholic school. You know, it's very, in my mind, it's just very difficult to comprehend. How did you deal with that as a young girl? Because it doesn't seem, in my mind, it doesn't seem like it would be that easy.
Well, since I did start off as a young girl, you know, I didn't know any better. So, you know, when you talk when you're young, you just automatically, you know, soak in what you're being taught. But I guess I've always been this kind of person who kind of questions things, you know, not really knowing why. But it just, you know, gave me pause on, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, with the, you know, kissing the cardinal's ring and seeing the picture of the Pope in his lavish Vatican City, you know, sitting on his throne, you know, that always bothered me, especially after they said you're supposed to be poor. And I'm like, well, how are we supposed to be poor when these people are living like, you know, kings? And that didn't make sense to me. You know, even as a child, and it makes sense.
And see, that's my problem. And that's my problem because me, Gigi is like my mom. She's like my second and third and fourth and fifth mom. Her and Lisa pretty much, you know, I pretty much like grew up around them entertainment wise when they were here in Atlanta. And And one of the things that we always battled back and forth on was religion and politics. Religion and politics was it. And when she was going through her journey with Catholicism and Gnostics and, you know, and just going through her spiritual network. Yeah, when she was going through her spiritual network, we were like right there for each other. So we sort of journeyed together. You know, whatever she was reading, I was reading. And my thought process around the whole thing was that I had to get away from the name Christianity, you know, and get more so into my relationship as saying I'm a child of God. Now, and when it comes to certain aspects of what people call religion, I really can't co-sign on it because there was never supposed to be religion. It was just supposed to be a belief system, you know. And for me, living in the mindset that I'm in now, I've studied all different sorts of religions and cultural rituals and ceremonies, or however you want to call it. I've been to different types of churches, and I still don't understand why people feel like the philosophies are different. The philosophies aren't different. They're just worded in a manner of modern understanding. Like if I living in the United States, we speak an English language. We may call ourselves Christians or what have you, but the doctrine isn't a Christian doctrine. The word Christian is just as simple as the word God. You know what I'm saying? It's
no.
A titleism.
Hold the phone. Me and my son, Corey, knowledge, we about the box. You know, I'll let people say something about Ovasi view in my study.
I can't co-sign on certain things.
No, I'm just going to say this. In my study, I researched Christian was nothing more than just like the Romans calling them black boys niggas. Same thing.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
You know,
that's what I'm saying, though. It's a title.
Oh, I didn't let you get there.
You know
I'm
sorry. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, when me and Gigi used to go back, we would actually go into different books of the Bible. We would go into different historical aspects of it. We would research day and night, you know, wake up in the middle of the afternoon after taking naps or being asleep the night before and wake up and have all these different study questions for each other. And what we came across is that you have to have a certain insight on where you stand as a spiritual person. It doesn't have to be defined by a title or a name. You have to have a consciousness. Now, like you said, you were raised in the church. I was too. And I had plenty of questions, mainly because I was born an epileptic. And I wanted to know why God would put something on me like that. You know what I'm saying? Because it talks about leprosy and sickness and famine all through the Bible. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, Christ touched the young woman and cured her of blindness. And he touched the young man and, you know, took all the scars and the
sickness.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But yeah.
These are wonderful stories, right? And
right.
I'm glad that I had them. Let's be
but
real.
See, the thing,
get
the thing,
magazine, baby.
But see, you also have to realize there's certain things in these books that you have to decipher. It's not the Bible was never meant to be prophetic in certain aspects. It was supposed to be a study guide to the actual answer. Once you figured out the answer, then you had completed your study.
So
you
how do you
saying?
Know it's
you
supposed to be a study guide? Who said that?
But that's
where did you
thing.
Find
you,
that at?
You don't know. That's the whole problem.
That's the whole problem.
That's
what you said. Yeah. Okay.
But see, no.
Knowledge.
What I'm trying to get you to understand is when you say something a study guide, that means it's something that you're learning. It's something you have to adapt to. You feel what I'm saying? If something is plain,
listen, Corey, knowledge.
Yeah.
What's in the Bible? The Old Testament is wars, rapes, wars, somebody conquering somebody and whatnot, whatever.
And then there's the New Testament.
The Jewish, you know. In the New Testament, totally all made-up stories. Totally
but
made
see,
up.
The way I look at it,
all
the way
stories.
I look at
you
it
you familiar
is that,
with the Pisco family? A little bit?
Yeah.
All right.
But see, the way
bit,
I
right?
look at it as... Right. But the way I look at it as Christianity is a title. Your belief system is what you go off of. So whatever you believe in, morally or immorally or spiritually, however, that's where you move towards. That's what you gravitate to. You know what I'm saying? I gravitated towards the individual belief of me being one with the I Am, not the God or Jesus Christ or whatever. Because essentially we all know that the system is supposed to be set up at a Trinity. But if you go back through all the different cultural beliefs, everybody, every race, every creed, every culture has their own version of the Trinity.
And that's why I'm not down with none of it. At all.
So the
know,
only
because they
so
come
the
up with all this stuff that we're supposed to go by, and everybody got it. Every religion, every culture, everything. And where I'm at right now, I'm very happy with knowing that I know, let's say I think, there's a higher power, but I'm totally into this universe thing. Because my soul feels connected very much to people, the next person to me, to the animals. I'll swat a fly in a second, I used to, but not anymore. You know, I'm just a new person. When I went down there to the south, it really got me connected with the nature and what really the universe is all about. And it's very good because I don't have those stresses that I used to have. I'm not under bondage. I'm not under anything that you have to act right. And why do you need a book to tell you how to be kind to someone? You know, and then they still don't. I think we talked about the fruit of the spirit. If Christians actually did that, this world would be a little bit better, you know, but that's not the case, unfortunately. And today, because we have 30 minutes left on the show, I really want to get this out there because I posted. And this is the thing. It is quite all right to walk away from religion and get more into soul, spiritual. It will heighten your senses so much. I can't even really explain it to people. I know people, they're very knowledgeable of this, and they could break it down. They could tell you where to go, this and that, whatever, but I'm not that person. I'm only the one that could come to you humbly, truthfully, and because of who I used to be, because I used to be ghetto gospel. And that was my life back then, and those were the beliefs that I had back then. But those beliefs were beliefs, not knowledge, and that's a difference. And now that I have come to the knowledge, it was a little scary for me, but every time I kept moving forward, and every time I moved forward, it was more of a release. It's those shackles, just, you know, I'm breaking away, I'm walking, and one break down and another one break down. And it was a whole process. And even though I have been out of the church for this amount of time, and then, Angela, you brought something up. You went to the church, and they were trying to have you do all these extra things. I went through the same thing as well. The last church that I left, they was trying to make me a minister. They was calling me Reverend Emil. I was like, I ain't no reverend. Leading testimony service, you know, because I had just got back from Atlanta the first time when it was all good. I was big in Atlanta the first time. I was there for like 3 years, and we ruled Atlanta back then, entertainment and everything, but came back home to family, and I came back to find that two of my friends where we went to the same church, now they're pastors. I was like, okay, cool. And one thing I was studying, and now I feel that I went kind of over the top with that word amen, you know, because I was reading some stuff, and maybe I did go overboard because I stopped saying amen because I felt like it was a cult. Isn't that funny, Angela?
Yeah.
I thought it was pagan. You know, Christianity, in my opinion, Ovasi views, most of it have you in fear. And how can you even operate functionally if you're always in fear? You're in fear, right, that if you don't be kind to somebody or whatever, guilt comes in. You think Jesus is going to come all of a sudden, and then you're going to die and go to hell. And another thing in my study about, you know that scripture, Angela, about Jesus going to come like a thief in the night?
Yes, I remember that.
Are you familiar with that?
Oh,
okay,
yes,
check this out. This is
there
what I learned.
There was a movie about that. Did you ever see the movie?
Exactly.
Yes.
No. But see, the thing, I did. Yeah. Yeah, those movies scared the hell out of me back in the day. But,
yes, indeed.
You know, the people that even wrote those stuff, the Left Behind movies, Lafay, those brothers,
They
even admitted it's made up, it's not real and whatnot. They made a lot of money off of people, scaring the shit
out of them.
And they made a lot of money off the books and the movies. But that scripture I wanted to say, when it said that Jesus would come like a thief in the night, if you know history, I know a little history, knowledge knows some world history as well. In those days, the thieves didn't come in being quiet. They came in and ransacked everything. You know? So, are you... But it's the truth. here on the Ghetto Tunes magazine in stereo. Madam Gigi, formerly Ghetto Gospel, you know, because I was thoroughly on the mic telling people about Jesus Christ. And now I'm on another mic telling you that it's okay. It's cool. Breathe and keep breathing. You are God. God is in us. Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. I would direct you to some people. Christ minister, you can get with him. He's still very much into that churchy thing. However, he would still kind of help you with some things. One of two things he didn't help me with any of that, but he shared it with me because I was already out of the fall. But one thing he said about that ark, which really all the animals was on an ark and it floated. Come on now, right? But what he told me what it was the seed, not the seed or the eggs or something. And that kind of sounded more logical. It had the seeds of all the animals. But when you, if you can convince your mind or choose to know that there's stories, you know, like Tarzan, the monkey man, all this stuff, there's stories, and they're very good. You know, sometimes they help and sometimes they hurt and hinder. Yeah. And the other thing that he told me was, which I never liked, you know, I don't mind being humble. I get down with being humble. But if you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. And I had a problem with that, you know, slapping. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Right? I never could get down with that one. And what Christ minister told me, and he changed his name again. People keep changing their name. I just remembered. But another thing that he told me was when you slap the face, you turn the cheek. He said, no, then you slap them. He said that's what is meant by turning the other cheek, not that you offer up your other cheek. What kind of person is going to do that? Really? Stop and think about that one. Really? Somebody hit you and you're going to say, oh, hit me again. You see all of our men in the streets when the cops just put their hands on them. They're like, get off me. We don't want people touching us like that. We're going to offer
right.
Oh, hit me again. No, it's not happening. it's not happening. And another thing that I want to talk about, sin, what is sin? I don't like the fact that we are born. They say you're born into sin. I'm a little baby. What the hell do I know? I'm sucking my thumb, drooling on my mama and Minnie. That's what I know, right? Sin. I'm going to get more into this later because only got a little bit, and I'm sure I'm going to ask Kamisha when she come on and see if she had the same thing, but to me, sin is that disconnect from, okay, we are spiritual beings, or were, and because we are now in this human body that break down and get hurt, and you got rheumatoid arthritis, and you could barely get around, everybody expect you to show up at their joints, and they don't know that your bones hurt. Stuff like that, that body. We're spiritual beings. I know this from the things that have occurred to me. Right? Spiritual beings. So when we are no longer that and we're in this body and we become limited and the powers that we did have are forgotten, we don't even remember how spiritual we were. I'm not talking about self-righteousness. That's a whole total different thing that the church folk like to do. And I also want to make clear, I do not like church. For the simple reason, one, they have too many rules and regulations. I don't like it because people go there and it's someone that don't have on any clothes. Everybody look at them like they're crazy, you know. And people, they pay their tithes, and they want to pay their tithes so they can go out with the pastor at the end of the year. You know, just all this puffed up kind of a stuff, you know, prideful things. And I'm wondering, what is that? And you claim I'm a Christian, and you're proud of that. And when I see a Christian, at the beginning of the show, they tell me that Christians are Christ-like. but yet I haven't met a Christian who's like Christ. Now, when you read the stories of this Jesus Christ, I could get down with him. Even though I know it's not real, it's about other people's lives, you can tell once you start reading and studying and getting into that word and not going off of what your pastor passed down to you and not whipping out them scriptures that you know by memory instead of just going and studying and looking at that again and wondering, what the hell is that? You know, what the hell is that? Hell. I know there's no hell. If you go and do research and you find that there's no pit that you're going to burn in hell. I know people, truth be told, about the underworld, and I'm not studying that because I haven't been led to. That's not my area. I know other people who can get down in that area, and I'll get in contact with them, and I'll have them come on and share, but that's not my area. And like I say, I'm not going to be talking about stuff that I don't know what I'm talking about. I talk about things that I have experienced. And I'll take that over somebody writing in a book any day. Angela, what you think about that?
I agree. Indeed, I agree. You know, going back to what Corey said, he made me think, you know, about religion. In all the religions, in Christianity alone, there are about 40,000 denominations. So that goes to show you there's division right there within the church. And you have 40,000 mm-hmm. different denominations. Everybody's going to say, oh, you know what? You can't be baptized by pouring water on your head. You got to be immersed. Oh, no, you can't get into heaven by faith alone. You got to have works, or vice versa. So you're going to have all these different doctrines, and they're going to be against each other, and they break away. There is no mm-hmm. cohesion there.
And that's how it started from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Quakers mm-hmm. come over here, and they kept breaking down, because a man have an idea that they interpreted Scripture their way in their own way, you know. And you have to really look at this character, Jesus Christ, whatever he was talking about. He was talking about things that was happening in his day. All the stuff that he talking about, the rapture and what is crap, whatever, it already happened. You know, if mm-hmm, you go mm-hmm. by the Bible, it's in there. I have some notes, but that's not this topic today. But if you look it up, you will see that it already happened. So we're here today, every day. I mean, to me, a lot of times I think this is just a freaking program, you know. It just seems so weird. Go ahead.
Gigi.
Yes,
have you ever noticed? Yeah. Have you ever noticed when people speak of the Bible and they speak of the different scriptures, they never speak in present tense. They always speak in past tense. And the thing about it is Jesus Christ himself said it before anybody else could say it for him. I'm not speaking for me. I'm speaking from what my Father told me. He says, you don't look towards me, look towards my Father, because he's the one who's telling me what I'm telling you. You feel what I'm saying? That's why he said, I am who I am. I can't be nobody else but me. So if you got a problem, you take it up with him. Just because you can't see him don't mean I can't see him. You know what I'm saying? And that's the whole cipher part of the situation. You have to take the realism of the situation and allow people to decipher it for themselves. Because even the disciples that traveled with Jesus Christ couldn't understand him because he was so far ahead of their mental that all they could do was listen. So whatever they absorbed, whatever they soaked up, it became fact. That's why when Moses led the people out of Egypt and they went to a brand new land, while he was gone doing his thing, they started building statues and worshiping that because that's what they knew. You feel what I'm saying?
Right, but see, this is the thing right here. I have studied the Bible for many, many years, since I was like 7, right? I don't know everything in there. I know enough, right? And what I do know is when you speak of things in the metaphysical, it does kind of correlate with the Bible. So you have to wonder who put it in there and where they got it from, correct? Okay,
oh, yeah.
Moses didn't exist. Do you know they have archaeological teams that can go out and dig up stuff, whatever? They haven't found the bodies of any of these people that's supposed to have lived. You know? Moses, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Acts.
And, you know, if Moses had existed, he would have gotten his knowledge from Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
From the Egyptians. Because he was supposedly raised by them. So he was gotten the knowledge from them.
Yeah. When you think about the Romans, and I'm not going to say they did the whole Bible, but let's go back to Paul, a fictitious character, right? I used to believe that Paul was real when I was in my Hebrew stage, and I was really hating Paul, boy, because a lot of the things that he was talking about, he totally contradicted Yahushua. Okay?
Yes, he did. He did.
Yes, he did. And I was an angry little Hebrew girl at the time because I was in my Hebrew stage at this time, right? And Paul, he didn't like women, and I believe he was gay because him and Timothy is like, now what's going on in this church? You know, and Paul was acting one way when he was with them little black Hebrew boys, and then he'll act another way because he's from, we call it Turkey today, but it's another country where Paul was from. Somebody stole all my notes. I've had books and stuff.
Ephesus,
they're all gone.
Ephesus,
but,
and
yeah,
the other place. That's one of them.
That one right
Ephesus,
there. And that one right there, paganism was highly in practice. A lot of Christianity stuff that they do is taken directly from paganism. The Catholic Church at the beginning of the century, whatever, they did not want to deal with it. They like, that's some pagan shit. You know, you're not going to bring that up in here.
However,
they turn around and be the biggest slave masters.
Yeah, that and
the
you
Catholic
know
Church.
They also stole Christmas and Easter from the pagans.
Exactly.
A lot of people don't.
All of it. All
realize
of the holidays,
that,
Halloween, Thanksgiving, all of that. And then you have to go to these people, the elitists, whatever. They're in this hidden, you know, not so hidden these days. But they're really, they're into numerology. They're into looking at the moon and whatnot. Because if you look at the holidays that they gave them these names for you good Christian American folk, they're circled around pagan holidays, and I'm going to go back in and do some study on paganism because when I was in the church, they had us stay away from that. And, oh, that's pagan. And I was doing it,
right,
too. I was on Facebook thinking I was helping people. That's pagan and this and that, whatever. But you have to go and see what pagan really is. You know, I don't know. It's another religion like anybody else's religion, as far as I know. And it must not be too bad if Christians have to steal from them. The thing is, they're so busy trying to get people to come up in their church house, they will do anything. Sister
right.
Angela, you told me when you was an unwed mother and then people was doing you like that and they would not allow you to come into the church or whatever the hell they was doing. But today, if there's an unwed mother, the Christians don't care because they need people in their church, especially those
That's
small
right.
churches. If you have
right.
a young teenager and she has baby, 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 Pastor don't say nothing. The mothers don't pull them over to the side and say nothing. When I was 16, 17, my mother of the church house, she told me that kissing ain't all that what it's cracked up to be, because when you rub two quarters together, they going to get hot, hot, you know, times have changed. But that's the only thing that has not changed about the Christian. I want to say faith, but it's not faith. And faith has not even ever, but maybe never mentioned in the Old Testament. And then you have the Christians who want to just black out all of the Old Testament. Oh, no, that's of the old. Oh, we're not under the law. That's their other one they love to say. We're not under the law. Oh,
however,
if you believe in God and you're not under the law of God, what are you talking about? Angela, they're confused. I was confused. It didn't make sense, so I had to tiptoe up out of there, right? And I stayed in it as long as I did because my pastor told me, I know how you're feeling. However, there's people there that need you. Because I was ministering to people. When the church house was over, I had a whole line of people coming up to me and wanted me to give them a word. All right? Yeah. I'll give you a word, all right. Woo! We have power. We have more power than we could ever think of. And another show that's upcoming, I don't know when, I'm going to set a date, but I'm going to have November, December set up really good. The Mark of the Beast, 666. Do you know 666 only means man, right?
Right. Right.
Proton, neutron, and electron. We're talking about carbon, right? I'm no expert on this, but the little bit that I do know, I know that it gives us power, okay? Okay?
That's
and another thing, in the scriptures, it says, whatever you do in my name, right, ask in Jesus' name and it will be done. One of the things that I left the church one time because in Jesus' name, I don't want my mother to die, okay? I don't know if I mentioned this on the show before. King Wayne hit me up in Facebook chat because I'm outside right now. If I mentioned this before, but if I did, I'm going to say it again. I was angry with God because I went fasting for 1 week because you said, ask in Jesus' name and it shall be done, and I don't want my mother to die. And after 1 week, my mother died on that last day that I was fasting. Okay? So.
And see, that's what really clinched it for me. It was just the seeing all the different things. And not only the stuff that happened in the church and I'm not answering questions right, but just looking at the world, how can a loving God let people die horribly, children starve to death, you know, young people dying of this and whatever? I just couldn't fathom that. And then he wants you to turn around and bow down and praise him all the time. I just couldn't get that.
You know what? At the beginning, because I was scared to say it, when you read the Bible and things is going on, God is psychotic. You know? That God that they put in the Bible is a psychotic motherfucker. Yes, indeed. I said it because it sent me through some things. It's coming out now. I'm outside. So when I get outside closer to nature, honey, psychotic. And then you're going to tell me, since it's an inspired word of God, you're going to tell me that you made the devil? November the 9th can't come quick enough for me. You made the devil. Then I hear their brothers, and then I hear, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Ooh, let me slow down.
Yeah, you're getting ahead.
Slow down.
Yeah.
I'm getting ahead. Ooh, Angela, what's some final words for you? What else you want to put out there? Let me see. What did anything like really hit you hard? Because it seemed like you never really was in it like me, because I was in it, you know.
Oh, there was so much, you know. God, some of the stuff I couldn't even remember, but some things came after I started talking. like you were saying that you never tried to beat people over the head with it and just go out and be like a Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, my father made us go out there and try to minister to people. And he had made up these flyers with a coffin on it. This is where you're going to be if you don't get saved. And that freaked me out. I'm like, I can't do this. I won't do this.
I got saved because I was scared. They had Evangelist Leonard. I'm 16. He come to the church. He preaching real good. And the mind is very powerful. You know, I said, we are power. Our mind is so powerful, it will get us up and jump and shouting in that church. And I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what else
mm-hmm.
I did? Fast forward, I forgave myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
I forgave
good.
Myself. You know, I
good.
Forgave myself. And it is good today. Jumping and
yeah.
shouting and whatnot. And I remember one time I was jumping and shouting. I got slain in the spirit. And I was on the ground. I remember I was, my first son was born, so I was like 22 at the time, because you know what happened? My mother hadn't died yet. Something happened. I left the church. I did, right? Oh, I was my baby daddy. We were spending a summer together. I was a school teacher, and I was off for the summer, and I met this fine young man. So, yeah, I got pregnant, and I was an unwed mother, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I forgot I was because we got married and whatnot. But we broke up, and I'm writing about that. That's a whole nother story. I'm writing about that one. But we broke up because he did something very bad, and I got pregnant, and he wanted to come and kick it with me some more, and I had went back to the church, and I was praying. I felt so guilty because I had been having sex prior to marriage, and you see the stuff they do to young folk in my day.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like that today,
oh, yeah.
but in my day,
yeah.
your day, you're not supposed to have sex before a marriage, which they did.
No.
You know, they did. But I do remember when the music was playing and going on and going on. I remember being on the ground at the church house, and I remember shouting out to them, stop the music, stop the music. You know, I think I was 21 at that time. And at 21, I realized this music, it gets you, you know, gets you jumping and shouting and whatnot. And,
that's their
and,
way.
And I
of
used to have people
end.
Jump and shout. You know,
yeah,
I did. I could get my tambourine and beat that. Me and my nephew would be like, come on, let's make them do it again. Right when the pastor come up and he, you know, try to calm things down. And then me and my nephew, we give each other the high sign because I'm a percussionist, right? So I'm playing a tambourine and I start beating it again. I'm like, I'm a hard-headed little 10, 11-year-old, whatever. And I start beating again. Come on, let's get them to shout. Oh, man. We might have to have a part 4. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot more. There's a lot more.
It's a whole lot more. I'm going
to
get another list.
I like to leave this with people to think about. You know, when Adam sinned, his sin covered all of us. You know, like the sins of the fathers visited on the son. Well, if Jesus came and did the reverse of that, why is it that we still live in sin all the time? We should be totally sin-free if Jesus came
you
and
would
took
think
it all
so,
away.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, because if he is a new Adam, and Adam caused sin to come on us, which is not fair because that's not our fault, Adam sinned, but Jesus came and took it away, then it should be totally wiped away. We shouldn't have the ills that we have in the world today.
That's
if he is who he said he is.
Say it. Like, I don't get this. It's like, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So, fast forward, huh, after Christianity part 3, huh.
Yeah.
That's what that is, for real. You know, we're broadcasting every second and fourth Wednesday of the month. Next Wednesday, I don't know, I might do like an hour. so I can lay down some things for people to go look it up, the ones that want to. But if you start with the Catholic Church and you look up the Tiso family and go in deep, because now they're trying to backtrack on that, but truly if you go look up Church Law 1913, the Papal Galleys, they had a slave hunt. If you want to look up, what is this? Oh, my God, Pope Gregory. There's just so much going on. And really, you have to look at where it started. It started with these old first century theologian, Bible scholars and whatnot, and poets even, okay? Dante's Inferno was a play, and it's based off the Revelation, the Revelation based off that, and there's a whole bunch of stuff. So with all of that, on the Ghetto Truth Magazine, I'm going to leave you with this. You have to do with what floats your boat, you know, for real. If it gets you through your day, hey, you know, for you people who are out there seeking, you already kind of realizing this shit not right. And I do have some other answers. If you inbox me or email me to ghettotruthmagazine@hotmail.com, I really do have the information that I'm talking about. I can direct you and tell you where to go, and then you can start your own journey. And another thing I want to say about the disciples that did not exist, but the ones that did exist, Peter. Peter went off and he started his own church. And I believe they started that word, church, in the building. They created like the first building to go in there, with people not understanding that the temple is, and God is you, in you. And I used to fight against that. I thought that was sacrilege. You know, I wasn't going for that, but as I... Oh, someone just inboxed me. Get Angela. Oh, someone wants to knowledge. Okay, I'll let her know. Knowledge has some more questions for you, so I'll tell him come back next week. How about that? No,
sounds good.
I don't know. Do I want to do that? Good. Do we want to do that? Let's melanate on that. If you see it posted up tomorrow, and then we will. If not, come back November the 9th. And if you have any questions, the show's going to be 2 hours. Black Fire is going to be on. You have any questions about the church, Jesus Christ, God, hell, heaven? Rumor have it, heaven is merely sex. You know, the female flower, you know, that flower, that apple, you know, that thing that was going on in the garden. It's so many stories, so many theories. Another theory was what Lucifer fall down to heaven. Now, you know, I'm jumping ahead of the game. I'm going to slow it up. Miss Angela, I truly thank you for coming on the Ghetto Truth Magazine. I'm going to leave it right here, and we're going to pick it up again. And it depends on the question. I'm not the question. It depends on the message that I get if we're going to do this Wednesday prior to that November the 9th. But until then and next time, follow your heart, make your own choices, and, you know, what other people think do not matter. You know, they put us in the school system and got us all pinned up on peers and whatnot, and we're so scared of what other people think. And when you can move past that and don't give a damn, and then we'll be all right. And other than that, we're out, and religion is...
But in the bullshit department, a businessman can't hold a candle to a clergyman. Because I got to tell you the truth, folks. I got to tell you the truth. When it comes to bullshit, big time, major league bullshit, you have to stand in awe. In awe of the all-time champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. No contest. No contest. Religion. Religion easily has the greatest bullshit story ever told. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man. living in the sky, who watches everything you do, every minute of every day. And the Invisible Man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish, where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time. But he loves you.